So today we're going to talk about spiritual growth. And when we talk about growth, when we think about growth, sometimes we think about growing a business or growing a garden. We think about growing up as children. We're going to talk about that a little bit today. But we don't often think about, I don't think often enough, growing as Christians. The blessings enjoyed in Christ include not only redemption by baptism, but it is something that we need to do to rise to walk in newness of life. So after we're finished with the baptism, what happens? We need to be growing. We need to be walking righteously, at least as righteously as possible. And this involves spiritual growth. So we think about a healthy physical life. What do we think about? We think about somebody being born. Brother John was talking about this morning in class, a baby in the womb, it grows physically. This is almost an automatic process as long as time and water and food are provided. But when we talk about spiritual growth, this is something that has to be a choice made by us. And sadly, not all Christians grow spiritually. Many stagnate. You think of a stagnant pool of water. Or what happens if you don't tend a swimming pool? If you don't put the chemicals in it and clean it and vacuum it, what happens? It starts to get dirty. It starts to turn into what we call a cesspool. Eventually, it can go that far. But at any rate, it will not be a pool fit to swim in. We need to always take care and maintain our Christian lives, our spiritual life. It needs to be maintained, and then it needs also to go above that, and it needs to grow and improve. So, this is something that doesn't happen automatically. Like we said, when you grow up, it happens automatically. This doesn't. This has to be a choice. We have to choose to grow. There has to be a plan in place. There has to be some kind of strategy, some kind of plan leading to goals. And we're going to talk about that in a future sermon. Let's talk about our first point here. Spiritual growth is a choice that is commanded by God. So this is not something that we need to take lightly. This is a very important thing. It's implicitly stated in the Great Commission. What does Jesus say there? Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. He commands his apostles to make disciples, to baptize, and to teach. And we're still supposed to do that today. This is something that requires growth. Why? Because learning requires growth. I remember there's a song in a little Christmas thing that I watch, and there's a band playing a song. And in that song, and this was a Jim Henson thing, by the way, says they don't like to learn, but they hate what they don't understand. And so this was like an evil band that was playing this. So what I want to tell you about is we don't need to be like that as Christians. We need to love to learn, to love to see where we're wrong. All of you this morning, you probably looked in the mirror before you left. And if something was out of place, and I don't mean little imperfections. We all got those. But if something was badly out of place, if I don't know why you'd be eating broccoli in the morning, but if you were eating broccoli, there's broccoli in your teeth. You got to get that out. If you have a piece of hair sticking up, you got to take care of that, right? When that happens, when we see in the mirror, we fix it. The Bible is our mirror. And when we look in the Bible, we can see what's wrong with our lives. And sometimes it's painful. In fact, it's what we call growing pains. When you grow quickly, I never experienced it. When you grow quickly, you have growing pains, right? And so when you look in the Bible, you're going to see some things that may make you squirm a little bit. You may think, well, there's something I need to work on right there. But that's part of the process because all of us are sinners. So it's commanded by God. And I'm going to go back to that scripture that we read this morning that Tom read to us. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. It says, "You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen." Grow in the grace and knowledge. And that requires effort. We're to grow in grace. We're to grow in knowledge. And if you may have heard that old saying, if you're not growing, you're dying. And I believe that's true because the Bible needs to be in our lives every day. And if you read it every day, that is a form of growth. And you want to go out there in your life, you want to try to apply what you've learned. Let's read the second epistle of Peter, the beginning of it, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. This is going to add on top of what we were just talking about. It says, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, if we notice all of those things, self-control, perseverance, godliness, leading to kindness, we are accepting of one another in our sins, but we're also able to tell one another if we see something out of place with one another. This is very important. It is teaching in love. It is teaching in caring. What's behind all of it is love and caring. Even when you see a mistake. And that makes all the difference. So, Christians who did not grow, they were rebuked. As we say, with love. But in Hebrews 5 verse 12 and following, the Hebrew writer, some say it's Paul, others argue that. The Hebrew writer is rebuking Christians for not moving past the milk of the Word. In other words, they were like babies. They were staying with the very, very basics, and they weren't moving on into the meat of the Word, the big lessons, the deeper things. And spiritual growth, it's not something that's reserved for a few select people. It's not something reserved for the preacher. It's not something reserved for an elder. We are all ministers of Christ. All of us have these responsibilities, and all of us need to look at our lives, what we're able to do, and then do the most with what we have. Doesn't mean that everybody has to do all the things. It doesn't. What it means is you look at what talents you have, and then you work to help other people with other talents, and you all lift each other up. You all edify one another. We should also remember that spiritual growth is a choice that requires diligent effort. That's what we've been talking about a little bit. But we need to understand that you have to put in that effort. Jesus said that it requires labor. He said that in John 6, verse 27. Paul wrote in Philippians 2, verse 12, that it requires work. Peter said it requires diligence in 2 Peter 1, verse 5. And like physical health, spiritual growth, it requires regular exercise. Now, I want to talk about exercise a little bit. I like to exercise. I feel that it's made me healthier. I feel that it's made me stronger. How much does it matter? Let's talk about it. 1 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8. "But reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself towards godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." So I think the way that it helps you, if this was my eternal body, I think it would help a lot. It'd be great. I could really stay strong and healthier. Unfortunately, the amount of time that we have here is very tiny. So that exercise profits but little. But when we exercise toward godliness, that exercise pays off. That's the one we need to concentrate the most on. Now, there is comfort in knowing that spiritual growth is a choice that is assisted by God. So God's not going to leave us alone in this. We've got our manual here, our training manual. And while we work on our salvation, Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13 says, God is at work in us. Philippians 1, 6 tells us that God desires to complete the work He started when He saved us. God is not leaving you alone as you strive to grow as a Christian. We're strengthened by God in our efforts. Ephesians 3, 16 says He strengthens us by His Spirit in our inner man or inner woman. He's there with you. Ephesians 3, 20 tells us He empowers us with unimaginable power. And that power is in us. God is going to be with us. He's going to strengthen us. He's going to help us. He's going to give us a way out of every temptation that faces us. And the more we get in the Word, the more we study and try to grow as Christians, the more that is going to happen. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We can't do all things. Some people online may tell you that. You can do anything you set your mind to. Well, you can do anything through Christ that you set your mind to, anything that's good. Because at the end of our prayers, when we pray in Jesus' name, we're really saying, this is in your name, and He can't do anything bad in His name. So we know that Christ is going to go according to what's right, according to what's going to help us the most. By saying that at the end of your prayer, in Jesus' name, amen, Jesus is not going to deliver something to you that's going to be terrible for you. So remember, Christ helps you with the good things. James 1:17 tells us that all good things come down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow of turning, no change. Now, spiritual growth is a choice that is blessed by God. It kind of goes along with what I just said right there. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus is going to give you grace. He has to. None of us can make it to heaven without Jesus' grace. But it's our responsibility to go and get that knowledge and then to apply it to our lives. Let's read Romans 5. Verses 1 and 2. Romans 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Look at some of those words there. Peace. Think about your life. What is one of the most valuable things you can have in your life? It's peace, isn't it? Peace is one of the most valuable things you can have. Think of having $1 billion. Think of owning an island. Think of all the things you've ever dreamed of, but you have no peace. What good would that be? It would do you no good. And the only way to have true peace is through God. What about hope? Hope for something better. Let's say you get a bad diagnosis. Let's say that it looks like your health is going to be on the decline. Think about that. Some of you may have experienced that. People in your family certainly have. When we think about that, what happens? There's a lack of hope there, but not with God. With God, the hope is always there. Because you know, when you hit the bottom here, you are going straight up higher than you've ever been or ever known. That is hope. And that hope comes through Christ. That peace comes through Christ, and that hope comes through Christ. 2 Peter 1, verse 11 says, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We think of the abundant life. Peace and hope are certainly a part of that. We often think of material goods here. But in reality, the abundant life comes after this one, when Christ lifts us up and puts us in the presence of Him. So in conclusion, we've been talking about growth, but not just any growth. We think about some growth is bad. if there's a, we know there's a danger of growing weary in doing good. Galatians 6 verse 9 tells us that. We know there's a possibility of growing corrupt according to deceitful lusts. Ephesians 4 22 tells us that. And according to 2 Timothy 3:13, there are those who grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. We don't want to grow in that way. We want to grow in all the ways I was talking about earlier, where we grow closer to God by doing what's commanded by God, by doing what God wants us to do, and what He wants us to do is always right. We need to remember that. It may not seem right to us, but it's always right. It's always the best thing. And many people doing what they want to do, thinking this is right, a little while later down the road will turn around and say, what I did there was wrong, and now I see it. I see that if I'd have done what God commanded, that was right. And I'm sure we all have those experiences in our life. We also want to grow by doing the things that God's going to assist us with. He's going to assist us with those things that are good. There's a big crash at the end of those things that are not approved by God. And we want to do those things that are blessed by God. God will bless us when we're in the right. God will bless us when we put Him first. And He will give us all other things that we need. But I ask you today, what kind of growth is taking place in your spiritual life? Are you attending services enough? Are you doing Bible study on your own? Are you trying to apply that to your life on a daily basis? Are you striving to live a godly life? These are the most important things, despite what the world out there may tell you. And I want you today, if you need it, to have the peace, to have the hope, and to have the love of Christ. And you can have that today. All you have to do is become a Christian. And to become a Christian, you must follow the plan of salvation. And I'm going to tell you what that is right now. I do it every sermon. Don't get tired of it. It's very important. First, you need to hear. Romans 10:17 tells us that. We need to hear the Word of God. We need to believe it, believe in God, and believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Hebrews 11:6. We need to repent of our sins. If we're doing something wrong, if we see something in here that's out of place in the mirror, we need to fix it. Luke 13:3 tells us that. We need to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God before men. Matthew 10:32 tells us that. We need to be baptized. Many today deny that, but we do need to do it. There's many, many verses that back that up. Mark 16:16 is one. Acts 2:38 is another, and on. We need to live faithfully. That means do what we were talking about today. Grow spiritually. Repent when we sin. Revelation 2 verse 10 tells us that. So if you have need of that peace and hope in your life today, and you want to become a Christian, or if you have need of the prayers of this congregation, I ask you to come now, as together we stand and sing.